Welcome to episode 9 of Sailing Infidels, on the outside looking in, on the inside wanting out. This is a continuing tale of the Sailing Infidels COVID-19 experience and how it evolved from our normal choice of an isolated life on Haida Gwaii through some very trying times to our reemergence into a surreal new world. All in all, our experience in Campbell River as far as COVID went was fine. Restaurants and other businesses were open and functioning fine, and people seemed to be the same as usual, except that they were wearing masks and there were fewer of them. The streets and shops were certainly not as busy as normal, and some restaurants had closed their doors for good. We left off the last episode as we prepared to leave Campbell River. With the bilges filling fast with water, we frantically tried to figure out what was going on. With both bilge pumps going non-stop and with Wendy pumping the manual bilge pump, I checked each bilge. We were already pumping at maximum capacity and the water was still rising. I had no time to waste. I ran up to the deck box to get the manual pump for the dinghy and use it to pump into the galley sink and use the electric pump to empty the waste tank overboard. We tasted the water and found that it was not salt water. That was a relief. We were not sinking. We deduced that the leak must have been coming from the center freshwater tank, which is gravity-fed by two larger tanks on either side of it. We shut off the two side tanks and pumped the remainder of the center tank out and replumbed to bypass that tank. By lunchtime we were finished, and since our departure plans had been effectively scuttled because the tide didn't bother to wait for us to finish, we had some lunch accompanied by celebratory beers. The good news is that it was simple to isolate that tank from use. The bad news is that although we have two more tanks, they are likely the same age and are presumably in about the same condition as that center tank. The next morning, we were once again preparing to leave. After fueling, we motored out of the marina and into a light breeze from the north. While Wendy was still retrieving dock lines and stowing fenders, I was rolling out the headsail and killing Garth.
Arr, Captain. And we're sailing in a broad reach?
Pretty much dead downwind.
On the last of the flood tide, and in about 10 knots of wind on the stern, we made for Cape Mudge and rounded right on time to catch the ebb tide to Gorge Harbor on Cortez Island. We stayed at the marina there for the rest of the month, courtesy of our new friend Bill, who also owned a Corbin 39, and as manager of the Gorge Harbor Marina, had a policy that Corbins moor for free. It was a great stay, and not just because it was free. It was also a great marina and a great little community of boaters and dirt dwellers alike. Not wanting to overstay our welcome and also wanting to continue towards our destination of Nanaimo, we sailed off to continue our journey. After a couple of more stops, about a week later we arrived in Nanaimo Harbor and anchored in front of Newcastle Island. We were a couple of months early for our scheduled haul-out date, but we were planning to sail to Mexico in the fall, and before we could do that, there was much preparation to be done on cosmic debris, much of which did not require being out of the water. As was the case with Port McNeil, Campbell River, and even Cortez Island, Nanaimo was fairly normal for a city in lockdown. We were able to buy all we needed for our repairs, maintenance, and additional projects. We were able to sell quite a lot of unneeded things, too, freeing up space and money for all those other things. The difference between Nanaimo and those other smaller places was the downtown core of the city. Walking from the marina to the grocery store or the post office, etc., was a near traumatic experience for a couple of people who had just emerged from one of the most remote places in British Columbia. We were no longer used to the noise of traffic, the smell of exhausts, obnoxious people, and their disgusting habits. I guess I never realized just how loud cities are, but after nearly 2 years of life in the boonies, with only some limited exposure to smaller cities and towns sprinkled in, we were having trouble adapting. But that was our issue to be felt by us alone. This unsavory invasion of our senses was just a reintroduction to the reality of the world we once thrived in. The exception to the normality was the government of Canada. The government-run marina was open for business, except that they did not reopen the washrooms, the showers, or the laundry facilities when they reopened the docks. Of course, we were at anchor, so only needed the dinghy dock and the pump-out facilities, but the shower facilities would have been nice. I don't know what the visiting boats on the docks did about bathroom facilities. Without restroom facilities on shore, they must have been pumping their waste overboard in the marina. No one was able to explain why they never reopened those essential facilities. Then came my trip to the government building downtown. Service Canada, they call it. Believe me, service has nothing to do with it. I was there to get certified copies of my passport. When I showed up for my appointment, the main entrance to the building was locked. I was early, but not that early. There was no one to be seen anywhere. I had no idea why the door was locked, so I looked around and found an open side door with a staircase leading to the basement. I warily descended the stairs. Still, there was no one to be seen, not on the street, in the stairwell, or even on the basement floor that I ended up on. It was all very surreal. I crept around until I found an office. I could see someone inside, but the door was locked. I knocked. The person came to the door, and we shouted at each other through the metal door that had a thick wire-reinforced glass window. He told me to go back up and wait patiently at the main entrance for a guard to open the door. When the guard finally came and opened the door, he took my ID and left me on the street. He returned a short while later with my ID and led me inside to a desk where a young lady was waiting for me. In what normally would have been a busy government center, full of people in lineups trying to sort out their affairs, there was only the guard, the girl who took my application, her supervisor, and myself, all shouting at each other through masks. The haul-out date finally arrived, and before we knew it, the fiberglass dust was flying, and so was the money. We were a whole month on the hard, which included a week-long road trip into the fire-ravaged and smoky southern interior region of British Columbia to visit family, as well as a day trip over to the west side of Vancouver Island for a job interview, because who doesn't apply for a job when you intend to sail away forever? So back in early August, I had stumbled across a job post for a caretaker at a resort on West Vancouver Island. That immediately intrigued me, so I checked out their website, and then I was more intrigued, so I applied. They replied, and an interview was set up. I didn't think the interview had gone very well, though, and so, after nearly a month of no further word from the company, I shelved the idea and was once again focused on the trip to Mexico. COVID Canada was set to fade into a distant and bizarre memory, and we were more concerned with what COVID Mexico would be like. Once we were splashed and back in the water, we turned our bow northwards once again to enjoy one last trip to the northern tip of Vancouver Island before dropping over the top of the island onto an offshore course direct to Mexico. A couple of stops after leaving Nanaimo, we were back at the dock in Campbell River, doing some major provisioning for the trip. I was sitting at the saloon table having my morning coffee and reading my emails. Lo and behold, there was an email from the resort, and it was an official offer for the position. Now, this really complicated things. On one hand, we were prepared, and the boat was prepared, and the cruising kitty was prepared for this adventure that we'd been preparing for 10 years already. On the other hand, we were only 59 years old, and still 1 year away from being able to start drawing our pensions. Having those monthly payments would certainly reduce the pressure on our cruising kitty once we were out there. So after discussions between the two of us, a decision was made and we accepted the offer. Newton Cove Resort is tucked inside Espinosa Inlet, an offshoot of Esperanza Inlet, just about 100 miles south of the island's northern tip. To be honest, the possibility of getting this job was one of the reasons for choosing the longer northern route to the open ocean to start our journey to Mexico. Had we gone the normal shorter route out of the Strait of Juan de Fuca, we would have had to decline the offer because it would have been too hard and likely taken too long to get all the way up to Esperanza Inlet from Juan de Fuca. As it was, we would be hard-pressed to make it to the resort by the start date we were given. So wasting no more time, we were northbound with a deadline to be in Newton Cove by September 12th. We left Campbell River on September 3rd and stopped at Misty Islets, Alert Bay, Port McNeil, and Bull Harbor anchorages before continuing over Nawiddy Bar and turning south. We also made stops at Winter Harbor Marina and Walters Cove Public Docks before winding up at Newton Cove on September 11th, 2021. The pay was a lot lower than it was at the lodge on Haida Gwaii, and part of the reason for that was that this lodge was not as remote. It was a long drive over a very rough road to the town of Tassis, and from there, a 1-hour boat ride to the lodge. This lodge was also much more modern and far better maintained. Everything was clean and meticulously organized. It's a floating facility, made up of several different floats, all interconnected. One of the floats was our very own three-bedroom house. It was insulated and even had in-floor heating. We were given about a week of orientation before the manager left us alone and went home. This was all very refreshing after our experience at that other lodge. It was reassuring to us, too, that we were once again isolated from the threat of COVID-19 and all its new emerging variants. Or at least we thought so. As it turned out, our anti-vax manager would, at every opportunity she could create, use me to vent her feelings about all things COVID. As was the case for our last lodge, due to COVID-19, this one had also been closed since the end of the 2019 season. So when spring 2022 came along, there was much work to be done to prepare for the first open season in 2 years. First came the parade of contractors to recommission the guest and lodge facilities. Then came the manager and then the new staff for the summer fishing season. The reopening was scheduled for around the 1st of July, so we were asked to stay until the end of June. Then we were asked if we would stay for the entire summer, me in maintenance and Wendy in the kitchen, and then stay on for another season as caretakers. That was a hard, we'll have to think about it. A couple of days later, we declined, and on June 25th, we were on our way south to Ucluelet to take on another major boat project while we waited for the appropriate time to sail to Mexico. We arrived at Ucluelet 2 days after leaving Newton Cove, with only a single stop at Hot Springs Cove between. Sadly, these hot springs, too, were also closed to the public. After a few days at anchor in Ucluelet Harbor, we moved across the inlet to the government docks and commenced tearing our cockpit apart. Our last two full-blown projects for cosmic debris were to move the helm to the port side of the front of the cockpit and to build and install a solar arch. The helm move was a relatively simple process, though time-consuming. The binnacle was removed, stripped of the helm pump, and soldered along with the steering wheel. The hydraulic lines were extended by 3 feet, and the old engine control cables were replaced with longer ones. Two new cabinets were built, one on either side of the companionway at the forward end of the cockpit. The port side cabinet would house the helm pump, new steering wheel, and engine control levers. The starboard cabinet would accommodate the radar screen, a couple of engine gauges, and some storage inside. For our solar arch, apparently due to COVID-19, I had to resort to building it myself. I used 2-inch aluminum tubing instead of the more popular, more expensive, and heavier stainless steel option. Other than 4 pieces of tubing that were welded at the shop that supplied the tubing, the rest of it is held together by speed rail fittings and lashing. The cost was about half of the best quote I received from the shop that was supposed to build a commercial design for us. Thanks to some communication problems, with time running out, I decided on this approach, and it worked out very well. By early September, the projects were completed and we were in cleanup mode, while also taking care of Mexican insurance and temporary import permit requirements for cosmic debris, booking a slip in a marina in Ensenada, and bringing our vaccinations for foreign travel up to date. And that's when it started to sink in. This was really happening. We went for a short trip over to the Pinkerton Islands deep inside Barclay Sound for some warmer and cleaner water in which I could dive to clean the bottom of cosmic debris, as well as to test the new steering system. We had a friend who was also planning the trip to Mexico and was going to be our buddy boat for the journey, but he served notice earlier in the summer that he had decided not to go. We thought we were going to be out there on our own, but just a couple of days before we were set to push off, a couple who had just arrived in the marina approached us to say they were looking for a buddy boat for their trip south. We showed them our course and plan, and we set the date of departure that would work for both boats, September 16th. Join us in the next episode as we voyage down the west coast of North America, nonstop 100 miles from the shore, to begin the Mexican cruising life. New episodes are released every second Sunday evening. Explore our captivating blogs and thrilling videos and contribute to the project at www.sailinginfidels.com. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram for updates, photos, and videos. And don't miss out. Stay connected and be part of our incredible journey. You are the wind in our sails.